How much money have you spent over the years to see your favorite musicians or sports teams live and in person? From the Super Bowl,
the greatest sporting event is coming to the greatest arena on earth.
To the World Series.
In America, for over a century and a half, generations have loved baseball.
To the NBA playoffs.
It's finals time, where what happens next lives on forever.
To what's known as the toughest trophy to win in all of pro sports.
Here is the grandest celebration. You get to hoist the Stanley Cup.
Each and every game has an economic impact on its host city. And the same goes for big concerts.
Welcome to the Eras Tour.
This has been the most extraordinary experience of my entire life.
The effect is so pronounced, Taylor Swift has even spawned her own economic subgenre, Swiftonomics.
The U.S. Travel Association did the math when it comes to Swift's Eras Tour. It estimates that people spent more than $10 billion on things related to the concert.
So let's get Swifty in here and make a spot for all of these big ticket events on Welcome to Wheel of Risk, proudly presented by Allianz Trade. I'm your host, Alex McCabe. On every episode, we spin the wheel to choose a topic and then provide expert insights and actionable advice to help you keep your business solvent, secure, and well ahead of the competition. So, full disclosure, I have been really looking forward to this episode all season long. I will just admit it. I'm a Swiftie myself. Yes, a proud Swiftie at that. But to balance things out with a healthy dose of his trademark wit and valuable insights, I'm excited to welcome back my old friend and Allianz Trade senior economist for North America back to the podcast. Dan North, come on down. Dan, great to see you. It is a pleasure to have you back in the Wheel of Risk studio once again.
Alex, thanks very much. It's always nice to be here.
So let us begin by making our topic for today official, okay? Dan, you know the drill. Please spin that wheel.
Here we go.
I admit I may have fixed the results of this one a little bit. Dan, you have landed on Beyond Swiftonomics, a look at the economic effects of marquee events like big concerts, conferences, and sports games.
Super.
Grab your foam finger, your puck head, or your Eras Tour outfit, and let's root for the home team. Whether we're talking about playoff games, concert tours, festivals, or even big business conferences and trade shows, the economic effects of marquee events are undeniable and well-documented. I mean, it's right here in the definition of a marquee event, which, according to the Collins English Dictionary, is any type of gathering so well-known or well-publicized as to attract large audiences. And large audiences, of course, tend to bring large paydays for local businesses. So maybe, Dan, let's begin by discussing which specific sectors and businesses usually benefit from that bump. And how wide do the economic ripples tend to travel when someone like Taylor Swift comes to town?
Alex, it kind of spreads all over. I mean, you start with an airline ticket, and then when you end up at the airport, you start buying candy bars or whatever. And then it's hotel room and restaurant. You got to eat somewhere. And then there's the merchandise and the souvenir sellers. I mean, you got to have your beads and your hat and so forth. And there are all kinds of other retailers, taxis, Uber drivers, tour guides, and local governments getting tax revenue. So it spreads all over the place.
Okay. So while we're on the topic of Taylor, let's dive a little deeper into her impact in particular. So the first leg of her Eras Tour, which I attended, by the way, took her across the U.S. How much did individual cities or regions benefit from that?
Well, from what I'm seeing, there were 54,000 fans in attendance at every venue. That's huge. We're talking about gigantic stadiums filled up.
Yep.
And also the average spending amount for each attendee was like $1,300. That sounds like a lot of money to me. And then, as I'd mentioned, had a big boost to local economies. She was in Chicago, and the governor announced that Illinois had broken its hotel revenue, thanks in part to Swift's three concert there. And in front of six concerts in L.A., the tour was estimated to earn $320 million. And most importantly to me, it was going to increase employment in the California city by 3,300 people.
Wow.
On local earnings of $160 million. Well, to me, people, employment is really the most important economic measure. I mean, do you care if last quarter's GDP was 2.0% or 2.2%? No, you care if I have a job or my friend has a job.
Sure.
So having that big increase in jobs, I think, is a really significant event. And there are all kinds of other numbers out there. When she goes to different places, it's all around $100 million contributing to consumer spending.
Wow. So I know your friends at the Federal Reserve even took note of the Taylor effect in their beige book last year.
Yeah. So the Fed Reserve publishes a lot of interesting data, and they also publish what you call anecdotal evidence. And this is where they actually go around and interview businesses and business owners and say, hey, how's it going? Business owner might respond and say, well, I don't know, things are a little bit soft this year. Or they might say demand is up, but prices are too, so forth and so on. This is what we call anecdotal evidence, and it's published in the beige book several times a year. Now, this honestly is pretty dreary reading.
Okay.
It can cure your insomnia or bring you to tears. So it's kind of cool when they actually mention something like Taylor Swift. You don't see that kind of stuff in the beige book. So it's a little bit significant that way.
We heard in one of our opening clips, Dan, how the total impact of the first U.S. leg of the Eras Tour was pegged at $10 billion in direct and indirect spending. I know there's also something called induced spending. So can you clarify the difference between them for our audience?
Okay, so let's talk about the three kinds of spending. First, there's direct spending. And if we were to talk about that in a business or business-to-business setting, it's usually like materials and services used to make a product. You might need lumber to make a house. But I think in this case, where we're talking about consumers, direct spending is buying a ticket,
okay,
or buying an airfare or a hotel. You can kind of visualize that as taking money out of your wallet and buying the ticket. Indirect spending comes around because, let's say you're a restaurant and you know you're going to need more food and booze. So you call up your supplier and say, hey, I'm going to need more food and booze. So that stimulates the indirect spending. You don't see that on the surface. Finally, there's induced spending. And in a way, this is kind of the most important because it's more long-lasting. It's the income created for new jobs, such as extra hotel or restaurant workers. This is stuff that sticks around longer. And anytime you have a creation of a job, I think that's more important than buying a ticket.
Yeah, I would agree. Which other musical artists are known for having an oversized economic impact?
Well, this might be getting a little bit out of my wheelhouse, but Beyonce had a huge tour that grossed something like $600 million. Bruce Springsteen had a big tour, and I actually wasn't a big Springsteen fan, but I have to say I went to see one of his shows, and it was one of the best I've ever seen. And then you've had Elton John, and then, of course, my favorite, the Rolling Stones.
Yes.
I took my kids to see him in Philly a couple years ago, and it was a terrific show, and they're always a big draw.
I saw them in D.C. also. It was great. So let's broaden our lens out a bit, okay, beyond just individual artists or bands. What about multi-day events like music and comedy festivals?
Well, a big music festival I always think of is Coachella. Supposedly, they create about $700 million in economic activity spending by consumers. And then there's the other one is South by Southwest, and that supposedly brought in about $400 million. And then you have the New Orleans Jazz Festival, which is $480 million. And by the way, the locals say that's actually much more fun than Mardi Gras.
Hmm.
But Mardi Gras brings in $900 million. So those are big marquee events where you have just more than one artist. There used to be a big comedy festival in Montreal, and that brought in something like $30 to $40 million. But unfortunately, that's been canceled. But these big multi-day events can really haul it in.
So is it worth looking also at big trade shows or industry events and business conferences? I know some of those can attract huge crowds as well.
Oh, yeah. what I always think of is what's going on in Las Vegas.
Right.
So the biggest show for a long time has been the Consumer Electronics Show. Before COVID, it had 180,000 attendees and an economic impact of $291 million, according to the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority. The big four, I would say, there was always Consumer Electronics Show, the CES. Then there's National Association of Broadcasters. And then there's World of Concrete.
World of Concrete?
Yeah. I was reading a book recently called Material World about the most basic building blocks in our world. And concrete is still one of them. It's just used universally.
Right.
And they're still developing all kinds of new concrete and techniques for making it. So it sounds unlikely, but World of Concrete. And then the biggest one now, which apparently has surpassed the CES, is the Specialty Equipment Market Association, or SEMA, which appears to be automotive aftermarket trade.
Okay. Well, should we hit up the World of Concrete?
You know, I'd be kind of psyched for that myself.
Let's do it. We heard some sports clips off the top. So obviously, sports are an economic force in the U.S. and also abroad, and events like playoff and all-star games even more so. So what kind of figures are we talking about here?
Well, I like to kind of look at one-time events. So car racing is a big deal. In Las Vegas, the Formula One race came in and produced $1.5 billion, which is bigger than any single Tay-Tay event. Miami F1 brought in $450 million. So F1 is huge. And then you go over to NASCAR, Daytona 500 brings in about $800 million. So these are big numbers in car racing. If you go look at the other professional sports, looking at the NFL in particular, playoff numbers can vary quite a bit depending on what cities are involved and what the hopes are, for instance. It can go from 50 million to 10 million. It's not insignificant, but it's harder to put your finger on that. The big one, of course, is the Super Bowl, and revenue rises, spending rises every year. It reached something like $14 billion in 2021. And in 2024, it surpassed $17 billion. NFL's really clever on this because they stretch it out for 2 weeks. That, to me, is kind of the king of all single events.
So individual players can also be a huge draw. My mind goes immediately to someone like Caitlin Clark and the effect that she's had on women's basketball.
Well, I got to tell you, she really is exciting to watch,
yeah,
particularly with the assist. She's so clever. So I can see why she has, when she was at Iowa, had record-breaking sales, and you can see why. And for the first time ever last year, the NCAA championship, more people watched the women's final than the men's final. That's,
yeah,
that's like a big symbolic event as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And now in the professional arena, they're selling out games, which I think is pretty unusual. And tickets to her games were up nearly 200% more expensive than they were last year. So she really has given the WNBA a big boost. And I expect you'll continue to see that in the next few years.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Earlier, we talked about the benefits of marquee events, but there can also be risks or hassles associated with hosting. What might those be?
Well, obviously, in the host city, you get a tremendous increase in prices for everything, for hotels, Airbnbs, again, Uber and cabs and restaurants and parking. And along with that, all the traffic and noise. And, you know, in some marquee events, people rent their house out as an Airbnb and just leave town. It's such a hassle. And then there are problems with security, the effect on the environment with all the extra cars moving around. So there are a number of downsides to the marquee event, but it's kind of offset to a certain extent by all the job creation. It's just a pain getting there.
Right. What can local businesses do to take advantage when they know there's a big event coming to town?
Well, of course, businesses will want to staff up because they know that there's going to be more customers, and they'll want to load up on inventories too. Mm-hmm. But that runs the risk of overbuying. You know, you're a retailer and you're thinking, gosh, I think I'm going to be selling a lot of hats, so I'm going to buy them now from a manufacturer. Well, that runs the risk that you would overbuy. Now, suppose you're the manufacturer of the hats. You sell all the hats to the retailer, and it turns out he way overordered. Well, he's going to come back to the manufacturer and say, hey, Mr. Hat Manufacturer, I kind of blew it on my order, so I'm not going to be able to pay you back for a long time. So there's that effect down the chain that can be a real risk. Now, conversely, suppose the retailer, this is a different example going the other way. Suppose the retailer wants $100,000 of hats, right? Mm-hmm. That hat maker isn't willing to take that risk because he may not be able to pay him back. So he's only willing to sell him $50,000 instead of the $100,000. Now, if you're the credit insurer, you could come along and say, hey, hat manufacturer guy, we know that retailer, and we're pretty sure he's going to pay you back. So we can give you coverage not for $50,000, but for $100,000. Go ahead and sell them. Trade credit insurance gives you a return on investment. It's not just an expense, but allows you to expand sales. So TCI becomes an ROI. It's a really good product in that sense, and not just offering protection against non-payment.
Taylor Swift hats for everybody.
That's right.
Nothing puts a damper on an outdoor event like a thunderstorm. But thankfully, that sound does not signal a change in the weather. It just means it's time for the lightning round. Okay, Dan, I have four questions loosely related to our topic today. If you get all four right, I have a Taylor Swift swag bag waiting backstage for you with your name on it, okay?
Wow, can hardly wait.
All right, let's get into it. Question one. In honor of the lightning round, can you name three sports teams that are named after weather phenomena?
Okay. You right off the bat mentioned lightning.
Yes.
I think I can come up with the lightning. I think that's the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think that's hockey.
Yeah.
And then there is a huge issue here, which is heat. I mean, it's been an unbearable summer. So that's the Miami Heat basketball.
Yep.
And then I had an interesting experience the other day. I was out visiting friends in Idaho, and we were out hiking up in the mountains, and I saw a dust devil spin up, and it was really cool.
Oh.
And it made me think of my favorite team, the Tri-City Dust Devils.
The Tri-City? I don't know them.
Oh, my goodness. They're one of the finest minor league baseball teams in the upper Pacific Northwest.
Oh.
Yeah, they're really...
I'll have to check them out.
They're amazing.
Other weather phenomenon sports teams, the Seattle Storm, Miami Hurricanes, Oklahoma City Thunder, and Iowa State Cyclones. Okay, question two. Which of the following is not a Taylor Swift song? A, You Belong With Me. B, How Did It End? C, Dynamite. Or D, Getaway Car.
Okay, so this is not a Taylor Swift song?
Right. So one of those is not a Taylor Swift
song.
Which one?
You Belong With Me. That's definitely a relationship song, so that's got to be Taylor Swift. How Did It End sounds like a breakup song, so that's got to be Taylor Swift.
Mm.
I'm not sure about Dynamite. Getaway Cars, you know, Getaway, so that's another breakup song. So I'm going to go with Dynamite because I can't quite see it fitting into a relationship or a breakup.
To be fair, she writes about other topics, but you are correct. Dynamite is not a Taylor Swift song. It's actually a song by BTS, which is a South Korean boy band that is the only act other than Taylor to be twice named the number one artist in the world by the International Federation of the Phonographic Industry, IFPI.
Huh.
Fun fact for you.
Yeah.
See, I come with some of my own facts, Dan.
All right.
Question three. Who is the highest paid athlete of all time, according to Sportico? And my hint here is don't give me any bull, Dan.
Oh, bull. Oh, I get it. Bull. So that's a cute hint here, would obviously be Michael Jordan. But, you know, I'm a little surprised because I would have thought it would have been somebody in the soccer or more appropriately football field like Messi or Ronaldo. But apparently it was Jordan drew such a big audience.
Yep. Michael Jordan. You are correct. Okay, last question. Which of the following sports was once but is no longer an Olympic event? Your options are A, rugby, B, croquet, C, footbag, and D, beach badminton.
Footbag? I mean, the other ones sound like legitimate sports, but footbag, is that like hacky sack?
Yes, it's like hacky sack, yes.
Have you ever watched those dudes try and actually play hacky sack? You know, they kick it for a minute, and then they kick it to the next guy, and he kicks, and then they drop it and start all over. I mean, it's, man, it's kind of like really cool, but it doesn't work either. So I'm going to say that footbag was not in the Olympics ever.
So, Dan, you are correct in that footbag was never an Olympic event, okay? But the question, which was a bit nuanced, is which of the following sports was once but is no longer an Olympic event, okay? And so footbag, a.k.a. hacky sack, never an Olympic event, nor was beach badminton. Rugby had been discontinued but then voted back into the games in 2016, which means the correct answer is croquet, B. There was only ever one Olympic croquet competition back in 1900 in Paris.
Okay, I'm going to write that down.
Despite the footbag answer, you actually did quite well on my challenge of loosely related topics that have loose things to do with your actual job. So congratulations, a Taylor Swift swag bag has your name on it now.
Oh, wow.
So, Dan, this has been a blast, but as Taylor herself sings, I know when it's time to go, so let's put a pin in this episode. Thank you so much, as always, for being here. It is a marquee event every time you're on the podcast.
Oh, thanks, Alex, very much. Look forward to the next one.
My guest today has been Dan North, our senior economist for North America here at Allianz Trade. I'm Alex McCabe, and this is Wheel of Risk. Thanks for listening. If you learned something today, we'd appreciate it if you could leave us a nice review wherever you get your podcasts. Talk to you soon.